You mean there's three of them? Gooch, Vogue Nasty, and myself, Scott, tonight on Classic Leet, episode 76? Yep, episode 76 of ClassicLeet.com. And that's a little shout-out to our buddies, the Paranerds, at theparanerds.com. Hello, everyone, and thanks a lot for tuning in this week. Pretty traditional show. We have some announcements for you, some news, and some email questions and stuff like that. So to get things going, Gooch, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great. Playing a lot of Star Wars The Old Republic.
I know that it says a lot when show notes have one bullet point and that's all that they know that they need to talk about. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you have to say. And Vogue Nasty, we got you back again this week. How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Awesome to have you. Have you had any glitch-free gaming this last week?
I have a little bit of Sonic Colors and a little bit more of Skyrim.
Nice. Excellent. Well, Sonic Colors, it's cool that you brought that up because we have some Sonic news to get to, which I'm pretty excited about. Before we do that, we just need to say hello to Doghouse Systems and need to let everybody know to get $25 in Jinx Gold, use the promo code CLEET. That's CL337. You can use that same code at j2games.com and get 20% off your entire purchase. And also, we have a cool announcement this week that we need to get to. Everybody remembers Super Meat Boy and how awesome the soundtrack is. Well, one of the composers of the remix project with the Super Meat Boy soundtrack is Inverse Phase, and he donated an album code to the show. So we are going to be giving away Inverse Phase's retro cover album, which is unbelievable. You'll be hearing some of that during the jukebox break later in the show. So yeah, guys, that's the announcements for the week, and we need to get to some news. Now, the first thing that I wanted to talk about, because Vogue Nasty, you just mentioned that you've been playing Sonic Colors. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that Sonic 4 Episode 2 is expected to have an announcement for us tomorrow, but December 29th of 2010 or 2011?
Yeah, had no idea, but I'm really pumped. I enjoyed the Episode 1 quite a bit.
So did I. ScrewAttack.com linked a post on SonicStadium.org saying to expect an announcement tomorrow. It's speculated that it's probably just going to be a trailer, but I'm pumped. I know that DB will be pretty excited. He loved Episode 1 as well.
Oh, yeah. He's a diehard Sonic fan.
Yeah, dude. I love it. Dustin, did you play much Episode 1?
You know, I downloaded it, but I never got around to playing it yet.
You know, you'll actually get the experience that all of us wanted, because Episode 2 will be there for you to actually play when you want to. all of us have been hanging out for about a year and a half now waiting for it. So I'm excited. Hopefully that's the case. So, yeah. Thanks to Pro Jared at Screw Attack. It was his Twitter feed I saw that on. So, guys, do you have any news before we get to the one item that was blowing up the Twitterverse yesterday?
I have nothing. It's been really quiet on, you know, everything I've looked at.
It has been. It's been pretty quiet. And luckily, a gentleman named Paul Castanano or something like that, this guy Paul at Ocean Marketing set a complete firestorm on himself. What he basically did was he sent a really nasty email to a customer who was inquiring on a product that Paul was marketing. Ocean Marketing is responsible for promoting a product that's an adapter for PS3 and 360 controllers for handicapped gamers, so they can customize the controller to be able to use it with the functionality that they have. And the person writing the emails is inquiring about the products, and the emails were pretty remarkable. This guy unknowingly got Mike, the owner of Penny Arcade, involved. And one of the nasty email responses that this guy sent incited Dave, the customer, to CC Kotaku, IGN, guys like that. And because of the unprofessional responses that this guy sent, there's actually a Penny Arcade article documenting the entire email chain of events between this guy and the customer. And if you just Google OSHA marketing right now, you can see everything that this guy unfortunately kind of unraveled on himself. I don't know. Do you guys follow, like, Nintendo Legend was a good example. He was somebody that was pretty aggressive and the Twitterverse trying to get some trends going to bring attention to it. Did you guys see any of the retweeting or anything like that?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. I know Scott Lowe from IGN. If someone like that is commenting publicly on a forum like Twitter, then clearly it has sent a severe nerve through the industry. And there's an article that we're going to link to the show, and it's from Digital Trends, and it's called "How to Ruin Your Reputation in One Email Thread: The OSHA Marketing Story." And this all took place within the last 48 hours of this recording. So it's a pretty interesting read about how fast everything can unravel when you're not careful about who you're speaking to and what information goes out there. So it's a really interesting read. I definitely recommend you guys checking that out. Now, do you have any horror stories, Dustin? Have you run into any situations where you've had a nightmare in gaming from a customer service perspective?
Not off the top of my head.
Me either. I can't think of any horror stories. Do you have any, Gooch?
I did recently. I don't know if it's a horror story you'd call it, but I emailed Newegg about a pre-order for Star Wars: The Old Republic,
Yeah.
because it had been like almost 48 hours, and I hadn't had a single shipping update on my item. It just said I'd been charged for it, and that was it. And I had a tracking number, and I sent an email. And it's like, hey, I took a day off for this when you told me it was going to be here. It's not here. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I get a reply back, and all I was asking was for an update or just to tell me that it had been sent to UPS, just so that I could know, to go ahead and work that day that I thought it was coming, that it wasn't going to come.
Yeah.
And the lady who replied, which I'm assuming a lady by her name, what did she say? It was something like, your item has been shipped, blah, blah, blah. And I said something to the effect in my original email was, the last few items you've sent me require a signature. Even something so small as a DVD drive that would fit in my mailbox, they won't leave because it requires a signature. Can you at least tell me if it requires one? I can have someone wait on it. And I said it much nicer than that.
Yeah.
But her reply was, blah, 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 blah. It'll be there. We sent it to UPS. You'll have to talk to them. And besides, it does not require a signature, so you should find it on your front door, and if you don't, blame UPS. I was like,
Whoa.
that was kind of unprofessional. And it did require a signature. They didn't leave it at my front door. I had to drive in order to get it before Christmas, because it was like late Friday when I went to go get it. I had to drive in like some crazy storm and pick it up from UPS, and they weren't real nice. Obviously, Newegg wasn't real nice. And the game came 3 days later than when they told me it would be here when I ordered it.
Yeah,
So,
that sucks.
yeah. But that's the only thing, that's the only bad thing I can say about Newegg is they have some bitch working customer support. Other than that, it's great.
That's the thing is, you talked to an hourly employee. This is the owner of the marketing company.
Yeah, big difference.
So, but yeah, if anybody's interested in checking it out, the guy Digital Trends did a really good job of outlining the context of the article. Clearly, it's got some bias to it because we don't know Paul's side of the story, but man, some of the things to say in the emails he did in a pretty unwarranted manner are pretty remarkable. So, interesting read. So, next thing I wanted to get to with you guys is talk about what we've been playing this week. So, Gooch, Let's hear it. I want to hear about Old Republic.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have not even fired the game up yet. No, yeah, I've actually played quite a bit. I think my last playtime was like 9 hours.
Whoa, nice.
Yeah, I love it. I think this is nowhere in comparison to the time I put in Skyrim in the course of the first few days. But it's up there. Have you guys played the Mass Effect games or original Knights of the Old Republic?
I
played
not.
Mass Effect.
Yeah, this is Mass Effect with multiplayer. That is, I mean, the combat's different, but at its core, you get companions, and you give them gifts, and you talk to them, and you gain favor with them. You have an alignment meter, so you can be a complete ass and kill people or help people. It is every Mass Effect player's wet dream that you experience with multiple people at the same time.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's
has DB
good.
Played it?
No. That guy, I'm just going to be honest, he's cheap. He will not pay $15 a month for a game. But I think he would love it. It's neat. The thing I really like about it is there's so much polish. It runs way better than any launch MMO I've ever played, and that includes World of Warcraft. The art style is phenomenal. The music is BioWare, you know, quality, really exceptional. And there's story in an MMO. Like, there's tons of voice acting. It's all super high quality. You have all these conversation options, which can totally change the way your quests go. So it's not just a matter of click an NPC, go kill 5 rats, and come back. No, you click an NPC, kill him, accept his quest, or do whatever. Then you kill 5 rats and go back. I'm excited. It's a really, really good game. And I think ultimately it's not better than Skyrim, but it's like my second favorite game of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's a very special title, and I'm hoping they don't bone it up.
What are you nervous they might do?
I don't know. See, there's so many things that could go wrong with an MMO post-launch. You know, they might start tweaking things. They might start changing stats. Hopefully they've learned from the last Star Wars MMO, which was, what do you call it, Galaxies? In Galaxies, like a perfect example of how a company can royally F up, Galaxies launched and it was honestly overly complicated and really technical and kind of odd, but that was how MMOs were at that time, right? I mean, they were super complicated, required lots of party work, couldn't do a lot of independent play. And then when Warcraft came out, Galaxies tried to adapt their gameplay to be more like Warcraft, so they released an NGE patch, which stood for New Game Experience. So there are people in Galaxies before this patch who had played for hundreds of hours to finally become a Jedi, because it was a really monumental task and took a lot of time and effort on the player's part. And then with this new game patch, they made everyone, gave the ability to become a Jedi at the very beginning with one click of a button.
Oh, man.
They took classes, because the way these games work is they're broken out into classes. The original Galaxies had classes like, I believe there was a dancer who provided moral and stat bonuses. Think of like a bard in traditional role-playing games. You had like these beast trainers and all kinds of classes. I mean, it was really widespread. There was just way too many to name. And with this new patch, they streamlined down what had to have been like 30 plus down to like 8. So people, one day you log in and you're a blah, 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 beast trainer, Jedi, whatever. The next day you log in and you're just Joe Schmo.
I'd cry.
Yeah, I mean, people were pissed. I mean, it didn't kill the game, but it practically did. I mean, their subs dropped dynamically, and ruined it all. They put first-person shooting mechanics into the combat, which does not work in that kind of game. that's really what they did. And I played post-patch, it was $5 at Walmart one day, and I bought it on a whim. Really bad. like Warcraft, for example, what they do in their game is that turns people off is they keep making the content easier, which, their reasoning for this is that as the game gets bigger, it takes longer to get to the end, so they try to make stuff easier so people can speed through it and get to what they would call the fun stuff, the current game.
Yeah.
But that pisses people off who play the game and they worked so hard to kill the Lich King, and now people can kill the Lich King with 10 people as opposed to 25.
Yeah.
It just, there's, you know, you got, it's a really fine line to walk between making the game too easy or too difficult, or, you know, do we nerf this? Do we increase this?
Do you think that they've seen enough screw ups that this one, like you had mentioned, that this felt like the best MMO that you've played at a launch?
Yeah.
I know that you're nervous. Are you optimistic that they'll kind of leave it alone?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with what they've done here to sort of streamline things, and how they've taken things that other MMOs do and made it better, sort of like the way that BioWare does. BioWare doesn't do anything exceptional, but they take the ordinary and totally refine it into a near-perfect sort of ordinary. Like, for example, there's crafting mechanics in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you play Warcraft or EverQuest or even Final Fantasy Online, crafting is awesome because it gives the player some input in the game world. You can make items, you can make money, you can, you know, do different things like that. It's just kind of, it's fun. But it's time consuming. You know, you got to go out, you got to go collect stuff, which could mean running around maps for hours, clicking on plants. And then that might mean going back to town and standing in a corner, clicking buttons while your character makes stuff. I mean, there's no real point in you doing that. It's fun. Like, the end product, the end result is awesome because, you know, you have an awesome bastard sword of 3 agility or whatever. And you can give it to your buddy who's starting the game, and he's all impressed and happy. And, you know, it's fun. It's another layer to the game that adds more personalization.
Nice.
Star Wars, what they've done here is, just like all the BioWare games, you have a crew. As you play the game, you get companions. And you can have one with you, fighting with you in battle at all times. Your other companions, which I believe are up to 5 total, you can send on the crafting missions. So their answer to all this is, why would you go pick flowers like a dumbass when you have 4 other people you can send off to do that for you?
That's sweet.
But it takes time. Like, I click my companion. I have one right now. And I say, go collect flowers. And it's not really flowers. It's probably space flowers. Go collect space flowers. For 3 minutes. And when I click that button, my companion disappears and they don't come back for 3 minutes. And when they do, they give me items and sometimes experience. And as you play the game, they balance this out by the higher the level of the items you're trying to get or craft, your companions take longer amounts of time. It could take 6 hours. So what I could do is, before I go to bed at night, tell my companion to make this uber awesome weapon of giant e-penis. You know, it takes 8 hours to make. I click that, go to bed, get up, and if I slept for 8 hours, which usually it's like 9 or 10 hours because I'm a lazy, you know what, I get up and it's ready. It's done. It's sitting there. You know, my character's back. It is really neat. And there's all sorts of little touches like that, including the story mechanics and the personalization with how you direct your story. It's a really nice mix. They've done a lot to make the game feel different, but also take the stuff you know from MMOs and just make it less painful. It's not so much about grinding or sitting in front of your computer for hours on end. And the last thing I say, because I'm in this massive rant because you got me started here, the thing I like the most about this game is that when I play Warcraft, or I played Rift, or Lord of the Rings Online, or even Star Trek Online, the little bit I played, when I played these games, I had fun, but I would always play like a podcast or music, or I would watch TV, you know, off to the side. When I play this game, I do none of that. I do not want to miss the music, I don't want to miss the story, the conversations. I am fully engaged in this world. And nice. I know the names of the characters, I know my motivations for the story, and that's stuff I never pay attention to in these other games, ever. So, I mean, that to me, that speaks a whole lot to the, you know, what they've done here with, you know, their BioWare-ness.
Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the actual gameplay and how they do the fighting mechanics.
Uh-huh.
Is this a mouse and keyboard game, or is this one that has gamepad support?
Now, it might have gamepad support. I haven't tried it. And there's, you know, third-party programs you can use to try to do that stuff, like Joy 2-Key. But
I meant, like, support. Like, Star Trek Online, they're like, hey,
oh, yeah.
like use a gamepad. I didn't know if it was because it's a third party or it's a third person perspective.
Yeah.
When you're walking around, so I didn't know if it was if I could use a gamepad.
I'm not sure. I'd have to try it out. I mean,
do you think it would work based on what you've played?
I think it would work. Yeah, probably. It just might be a little difficult to get all of your abilities that you need in combat because, you know, even at level, what am I now, like 12, I probably have like 10 solid abilities that I'm going between.
Yeah, well then probably a gamepad would just get in the way.
Yeah, but the way it works, though, is it's not, like, rarely when I play this kind of game, I usually end up staring at the hot bar, you know, that 1 through 10 number bar that has all your abilities on it, like Guild Wars. I look at that more than I look at the screen. But the way this game works is I actually can use the number buttons. They map some of the buttons to the keyboard really intelligently, and it works really nice. Like, there's a the big thing here that you don't see in other MMOs, which I don't think I've seen in any other MMO, is a cover mechanic. And you just tap F on the keyboard. So you're using WSAD to walk around. You hit F, and your guy, if you're, you know, shooting a blaster, obviously Jedis don't use cover because screw cover, they're Jedis.
Yeah.
But so, like, if I pull my blaster out and there's, like, a log off to the right or there's, like, a little piece of metal. I don't know. Everything in Star Wars is either metal or tree. I hit F. He rolls over and hides behind whatever is there, you know, all Gears of War style. And he's, like, poking his gun out shooting. And nice. There is no auto attack. So you're constantly having to hit a button to shoot if you're that kind of class. And if you're a Jedi guy, you know, you have to use a button to attack. So it's very action-y, very involved. And then when I hit that cover button, my bar changes. Like, it totally turns into these are all the abilities that you use when you're in cover.
Nice.
And it's real intuitive. I really like it. And the combat's not real fast-paced. Like, it's not fast like World of Warcraft. It's not that quick. But it's not so slow like its original EverQuest. They have this really nice balance to where you're only fighting groups of maybe two or three guys that I've found so far. So it never gets too complicated. And you know, once you get level 10 or so, you have a companion. So even when you're playing by yourself, you have someone there with you who is either, you know, taking some of the damage, you know, you send them off to fight another monster or whatever, or they're healing you or whatever. It's, you know, and it sort of helps you with the, if you want to play the game as a single player game that just happens to have other people randomly running around, jumping, dancing, and stripping naked, that's fine. You can do that. Or you can socialize with other people, you know. And mostly I've been playing by myself. I've done a few missions with other people. And that's really cool, though, you know, when there's like four or five of us and we're all firing our blaster guns.
Yeah, that's got to sound pretty sweet.
Yeah, you just – my headphones are just a sea of –
Yeah.
And it's cool. And I like the, you know, the dialogue stuff, too, adds to it. Like when you're in a group with people – and I'll shut up here in a minute, I swear. When you're in a group with people, I don't know if you guys used to play D&D, but similar to that, when you get up to an NPC where you talk, and this might be, you know, one of the stories that you're working your way through, a big quest, you might have an option, like, for dialogue. It'll pop up and be like, blah, 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 and your options might be help this guy, you know, walk away, or shoot him in the face. And when you're in a group with, you know, let's say three people, everyone gets to pick an option, and then it rolls a dice to see who actually gets to advance the story in that way. So you might pick, you know, help the guy, and then your buddy wins the dice roll and shoots him in the face, and the quest is over. It's really neat. And some of that stuff's repeatable. Like, don't always think it's going to affect your main story, because that's just you. So, you know, your class, like, if you're a Jedi, you have a Jedi story. If you're a trooper, you have a trooper story. But in terms of a dungeon or an open world type of event, people can really mess up your day if they want to. But it adds this whole sort of dynamic flow to it all that you really appreciate. And you can really tell who's evil, because in that sort of Mass Effect way, if some guy is always choosing these evil options, his face is going to get all veiny and nasty looking.
Oh, cool.
So then you're like, I'm not partying with that guy if I want to be, you know, on the up and up and helping people out. You just avoid him altogether. Visually, you can tell he's a mean son of a you-know-what.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's great. I highly recommend anyone check it out. And if you see it, buy the collector's edition because that statue that comes with it is really sweet.
I saw. I was gonna ask what your thoughts are. You were real enthusiastic in the video, but that was a true first impression unboxing. So, I mean, have you cooled since then? You still really enjoy the collector's edition as much as you did in the video?
Yeah. I'm not as impressed as I was initially when I think about it now. I mean, you get that awesome security key, which, gives you that random number when you log in every time, and that's really nice to have. It saves you $10. Soundtrack's not so great. Journal's really nice, but that statue and the stuff that you get in the game, like, the statue's really sweet. I put it in my son's room because I'm a single man, and having a giant Jedi statue in your living room will not get you laid.
No.
Now, but the cool thing is, like, they put this stuff in the game for those collector's edition buyers. There is a vendor, when you go talk to them, that will only sell you stuff if you bought the collector's edition.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's stuff that, is kind of trivial, like different outfits and things for your companions because you can sort of dress them up, play Barbie with them. And you get some items and equipment. Nothing that makes you better. It's all visual, but that's really nice. And, the fact is, like, you might wear an outfit, like, let's say 3 years from now, no one can buy the collector's edition unless they pay some crazy price on Amazon. So you're going to have these items that no one else will get to wear. And it's sort of like a legacy thing where, you're like, I was here from the beginning.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I'm.
So hopefully the game will last so you can
Yeah.
show off your legacy robes.
If the beginning numbers here or signify anything, I believe this is going to be a very long-lasting game because there are hundreds of servers or over 100 servers at least. And I would say 80% of them are full at max
That's great.
capacity with like 2,000 people on at a time.
Well, good. I mean, Star Wars fans need, something to latch on to. They're all frustrated right now with, remakes and whatnot, so.
Yeah, well, if George Lucas comes in here and starts changing, crap around, I'm gonna
What?
quit.
No, I heard someone speculate, and it would be awesome if they were right, but he's changed stuff, I mean, so much that they were speculating that eventually he will have an original theatrical release, but in a super high quality. Like, so there will be a super collector's edition Blu-ray of the original cuts, and it'll be like the very first time that it's released since way back when and sell for boatloads of money.
And there's just only so much you can do. I mean, unless he goes back and, gives Leia bigger jugs and hides all those extra little, costume zippers. What else can you do with Star Wars? It's
I don't
fun.
know. I don't mind because I'm not a purist, so it doesn't bother me that much. So when they keep coming out with these tweaks and whatnot, it's just another opportunity for me to actually see them in the theater. So it doesn't really bother me that much.
It doesn't bother me. I poke fun at it and stuff.
Yeah.
But part of me is it's not even that he's touching this thing that he made, but I'm just like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Don't make another Indiana Jones. Don't make another Star Wars.
Make another Howard the Duck.
Yeah, I watched that like a couple weeks ago. Honestly.
The animatronics aren't that bad.
It had duck boobs. Ducks had nipples.
Oh, that's funny. I haven't seen that movie in a long, long time. It's Marty McFly's mom. What's her name? Leah something?
Leah
Thompson?
Thompson? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, she was pretty good looking back in the day.
Yeah, I think she's aged pretty well.
Yeah. That and oh gosh, what's his name that he was in Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, Robbins, Tim Robbins?
Yeah, he was in Howard the Duck.
Yeah. I don't re I'm trying I remember a girl, Howard the Duck, but I do not remember her boobs.
Oh yeah, there was it was in the beginning when he's like in his duck world and he's in his apartment.
Okay.
He opens up a play duck, which shows a fully nude duck woman with nipples. And then when he gets sucked through that portal, when he's, being pulled through those apartment buildings,
Yeah.
there's a duck taking a bath. And you can see her boobs. It's probably on YouTube. It looks so bad. It looks so bad. It looks like someone sort of turned a feather pillow inside out and wrapped a condom over, like, one third of it. It's terrible. And I watched that at like 6 or 7 years old, and no one said a thing. I mean, it's got swearing and nudity and drinking.
Yeah, they just didn't care about us in the 80s. Only Nancy Reagan did. Well,
Reagan.
cool, man. Dustin, let's get to some stuff that you've been doing this week. You mentioned Sonic Colors way back at the beginning of the episode. Did you have anything that you wanted to add? We didn't really hear much about it.
Just that it's awesome. It's probably the one of the best Sonic games that's come out since, I would argue that Sonic games have been pretty subpar since Sonic Adventures 2 on the Dreamcast.
That's it. A lot
Even
of people would agree with that.
like I played, my nephew owns Sonic the Hedgehog, which was like the reboot for the modern systems, and Sonic Unleashed. And are you guys familiar with Sonic Unleashed?
Just the complaints about it, I've never played it.
Just the Werehog complaints.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever he goes Werehog, it turns into like a poor man's God of War. Gooch, were you gonna say something about it?
Yeah, I was. That's exactly what I was going to say. Was the I did not like the Werehog sections, but I really liked the straight up Sonic levels. Daytime
Yeah.
levels. Those are pretty
The
good.
Sonic Colors is pretty much, well, from what I played of it, it seems like it's just nothing but the Sonic levels, except done correctly, unlike in the Sonic the Hedgehog reboot. And there's no, like, transgender or, not transgender, but, interspecies,
Transgenes.
romance.
What platform are you playing this on? Because the DS is more like a Sonic Rush version, and w the Wii version is more of like they're not really the same game, right?
Correct. I think the like you said, the DS version is more the Rush version, and the Wii version is more along the lines of the Sonic Adventures,
Okay. And are you
where
playing
it,
the Wii version then?
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the graphics are incredible for the Wii. They're very bright, well, bright colors, as the title says. And the music is just really upbeat and catchy. No Sonic Boom, unfortunately, but the even like the voice acting and the writing in the cutscenes is. It's about the same quality you'd get from a really good Saturday morning cartoon. So, I mean, if you're an adult, it's not going to blow your mind, but it's just really well done. And I don't think that a lot of people have, I don't think that Sonic Colors had the marketing that some of the other Sonic games have had. And I don't understand why, because it's one of the best ones in forever.
I'll have to pick that up. Do you know how much that's going for right now?
I think it's down to like $20 at this
Is it
point.
really? Oh, I'll have to pick that up. I told you before we started recording that I have a new TV on the way, and I'm looking forward to getting my Wii hooked up to the newer TV because the component inputs on the TV that I have right now don't work. Only
Oh, okay.
the composite RCA cables will. So my Wii experience, like playing Skyward Sword and whatnot, has been in the 480i output or whatever. So I'm excited to. I'm gonna go back and replay Donkey Kong Country without some wavy lines on my screen. It should be nice. So, cool. What else have you been up to, man?
That's pretty much it. I've just been playing a lot of Sonic with my nephew, and
Okay.
but one thing that I heard about and I got really excited was Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD, which is, I think, the first two Tony Hawk Pro Skaters, and it's not like up-resed textures put into the original version, but it's actually like a remade game in like modern day graphics.
Oh, wow.
And there's a 30-second gameplay trailer teaser out where it's a skater just going around the original warehouse level that you start out in the first one. And it's going to be a downloadable title for, they said, around $15. So
Cool.
I'm super excited because I played the one on Dreamcast for hours and hours.
We will put a link to that trailer for sure. Nice. I was never much into the Tony Hawk series.
I didn't think I would be either until I played the demo of that first one.
My my friends were really into it. I remember playing it and enjoying it. It was an intuitive game, I guess. Once you had a buddy tell you sequence of buttons to hit when you were in the air, you could pull some really satisfying tricks off.
Yeah.
But I never. I think it's probably because I never had a PlayStation or a Dreamcast until I was older. So I think I just miss it that way.
Hey, this is Rooster.
And Kevin from the Paranerds Podcast. And you're listening to the Classic Lead Podcast.
Wow!
Party time.
Woohoo! Well, cool. Did you guys see that Club Nintendo is actually giving games out now for your Club Nintendo coins?
Really?
I did not.
Yeah. I got an email, and I meant to mention this last episode. So the Club Nintendo points, what it does is, I logged into my account and it let me cash in for 100 points a Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo. And I gave Tony 2 3DS codes out of my account. And an $8 title for 100 coins was a really, really good deal. And I guess the idea is this will continue. That Nintendo plans on having titles available for purchase with your club coins.
And you get those coins by buying games, right?
Yes, which makes perfect sense. Hey, buy our games and we'll give you a bonus game for it. And by also participating in their customer marketing, when you go into your account, you can take gameplay surveys on what you liked about the game and what you didn't, and they give you coins for that also. So, if you just go into your account periodically and do action items, I want to say they give you over 100 points for buying a game, or maybe 50 points for buying a game. So, to give what they've considered an $8 value for, as an add-on to purchasing a game is pretty awesome. So, I wanted to bring that to people's attention if they didn't see, their Club Nintendo accounts recently to go check it out and try to download some games. I got a Kinect for Christmas, which this will lead into our question of the week, so I'm going to hold off on that. But I definitely want to talk about some Kinect games. And one thing that I got to do that was really cool over Christmas break was my brother did get his Xbox. I mentioned that the last couple episodes. And my entire living room was shut down with my brother playing Star Wars Unleashed for about 5 hours straight before he took a break. And about half an hour later, after he was really frustrated with what he called a control problem, was back at it about a half an hour later. So it was just, it was amazing to watch him spend an entire day playing video games. It was like we were 10 years old again, so that was pretty cool, but yeah, I really enjoy the Kinect so far, so I'm anxious to tell you guys about what I have there and some of the other deals that I got. So, actually, I think that we'll take a jukebox break right now and come back with a question of the week. And just real quick, I want to send another special thank you to Inverse Phase. If you enjoy this song, you can purchase this album through inversephase.bandcamp.com. Or send us an email and be entered in for the drawing to receive it. And thank you once again, Inverse Phase. Much appreciated. And if you enjoyed the song, please write in at classicelite@gmail.com for your chance to win that album. So, we need to have a discussion this week, and Gooch had on our notes here that he wanted to talk about our holiday awesomeness. So, Gooch, let's start off with your holidays. Did you get something awesome, or did you get a big steaming pile of E.T. on the Atari?
Are you referring to this holiday?
This specific holiday. The one that was a few days ago.
Well, I have one game coming from DB. If I can get that guy down here to exchange gifts, I'll find out what it is. And every year he buys me something really awesome, always some kind of awesome retro stuff. Game-wise, though, I didn't really get a whole lot from other people other than I got Uncharted 1 and 2 for my birthday slash, you know, Christmas from a friend of mine. Nice. I did buy myself way too much stuff for this holiday season, where my girlfriend left and she's the one who normally buys me stuff. I kind of went nuts, built a computer, bought a Kindle Fire.
Well, that's money you didn't have to spend on her.
That's right. That's the kind of the way I thought about it. I was like, you want an engagement ring? Screw your engagement ring. Here's a PC.
Yes.
And I spent LEDs. More on this than I would have spent on the engagement ring.
Well, you know, you'll get more use out of the PC. So.
Yeah, that's right. PC doesn't want a spoon.
That's right.
That's right. But yeah, no, I've went all out on myself this year for Christmas with PC, ton of games and stuff. The Old Republic. My son, what was really awesome is a good memory. I got him. What is that? Mario and Luigi Inside Bowser's Story. I might be saying that wrong, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's a DS title, isn't it?
Yeah, I got that for him, and he was, you know, ecstatic. He was so happy.
Sweet.
He was so happy. And what we're going to do is we got it, and we know that his DS is kind of dying off. So he's using – there's four DSs in that house, and he's using one of his sister's DSs, right? Because they're 10, and they don't play it all that much.
Sure.
His birthday's on the 9th, and we're going to be like, bam, here's a 3DS.
Whoa.
So we're kind of staggering this out. I'm going to blow his mind January 9th.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I got him Batman Arkham City as well on PC for his birthday. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm just exposing him to all sorts of awesome.
Yes, you are.
Which I haven't got him Part 2 yet, you know, the Arkham City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried. Tell me this real quick while I'm sidetracked. Do you think that game says the B word too much for a 7-year-old kid to... you know, is it bad?
Well,
it says it a lot.
I guess not necessarily the language, more of it's the characters are all really scary. It's a really dark, kind of scary environment. So if scary stuff on TV, like if Freddy Krueger movies don't faze him, probably not. Like I wouldn't really worry about it because if he's not, I mean, he's 7, he's already heard the words. So yeah. If he watches his mouth around you, then he knows that it's a bad word and he shouldn't say it. And if he's not spooked by, you know, really scary clown-looking guys and stuff like that, then no. Yeah. But I'm also a 29-year-old guy without a kid, so what do I know?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was that one part in Arkham City where Johnny Depp gets sucked inside the bed and it shoots out fountains of blood. I don't know if that's going to bother him.
Oh my gosh, that was I keep forgetting that that was Johnny Depp, and I remember that vividly from the movie because it's so over the top. It was like a fire hydrant of blood opening up.
Yeah, I seen that as a kid, and I was like, oh my god, that's what would happen. That's real. And, yes. You know, now I'm like, no, and I was scared of critters. I was scared of stupid stuff.
Yeah, see, that stuff scared me. So like, I don't know if a 7-year-old version of myself. I don't know if Arkham City would have been a good idea for me. But I feel like I was a wimp because Freddy Krueger did scare me. So
yeah, I think Arkham Asylum is fine, but Arkham City, it's quite a bit darker. So.
Oh, it is. They notch it up. And it's with Catwoman and, you know, there's Joker's girlfriend's more involved as a character, so there's a lot more sex to it as well.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Well, there was some Poison Ivy stuff, you know, I guess in the first one, but I don't know. I felt like there was more sexual content in Arkham City 2, so I don't know. It's not, like, egregious, though. I wouldn't think if you let your son play that. I don't think you're going to child services knocking on your door. What?
Yeah, well, last thing I need is a second visit from those guys. I'm kidding.
Come look around.
Yeah, I got to watch what I say. I'm going to get in trouble.
No, you're all good, man. So, Dustin, what about you, man? Did you get anything good, give anything good, have anything crappy happen?
I got my wife the newest Professor Layton game because she likes to play those.
Sweet.
So I got her, The Last Spectre, and she's pretty excited about it. Also, as I mentioned earlier, I got Sonic Colors for Christmas. It's awesome.
Now, was that a surprise? Was that a game that you suggested as an option for a gift for someone to give to you, or did they just get it out of the blue for you?
It was something I suggested.
It's cool.
Yeah, I suggested that and Sonic Generations, and I actually ended up getting both.
Sweet.
So
you have to let us know what you like better.
No. What else? I think that's pretty much it.
Cool.
I got a really cool jacket with a Nintendo controller across the chest.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You'll have to get a picture of that. We'll have to tweet that.
Sweet.
That's cool. For me, the coolest gaming thing I got was a Kinect. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit because I have a small living room. And I needed to get the zoom lens by Nyko. And this product has either 1-star ratings or 5-star ratings. And luckily for me, I fall in the 4- and 5-star category. It's remarkable. This thing really shrinks the play area for the Kinect. And other than it being a little jumpy sometimes, the Kinect, I feel like, without this lens can be a little smoother. So a game like Lead Me's is a little jumpy and not as smooth as it should be, but like Kinect Adventures, the Gunstringer, which is amazing, and Fruit Ninja, those kind of games are all awesome on it. Have you guys played Gunstringer at all? I didn't even know this was a Twisted Pixel game.
No.
No. I want to, but... Yeah.
Is it Kinect only?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's an interesting play mechanic. You use your left hand to hold a marionette puppet, and use your right hand to control the puppet's gun or ammunition or whatever. And the gameplay mechanics it's cool. You're supposed to be the person putting on the production for an audience, but the story is narrated as though the character that you're controlling is alive and in this environment. It's neat. I like it. It's a little awkward seeing real people in an animated video game, though, so I don't like that for whatever reason. It does bother me, but yeah, the Gunstringer, it's cool. So if you have a Kinect, at least get the demo just to check it out, because the gameplay mechanic works pretty cool.
There's a piece of DLC for that I kept hearing about that you can get. It's like a separate game or something. Have you seen this? It's like a...
No.
Yeah, it's supposed to, it pays homage to the sort of like full motion video, live action, you know, shooting games from the 90s.
Well, I need to look for that because I'll buy that for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to try to look up the name of it and tell you after the show, but I remember hearing a lot about it.
Cool. And I took advantage of the Humble Bundle, so I did go ahead and start playing some Shank. That was the one game out of the Humble Bundle 4 that I wanted to play the most that I hadn't played yet. And do you guys remember Shank? It was the game that looked like Venture Brothers animation, and it was like hack and slash side-scroller.
Yeah.
Yeah. It runs really well on my computer, and a game like The Binding of Isaac doesn't. So I didn't expect this game to run really well, but figured out what the heck, it's charity, and it's awesome. It's really satisfying. Now, I wouldn't have wanted to pay the full Xbox price for it, but having, you know, paying $5 for the Humble Bundle and having it included was totally worth it. And Gooch, after seeing Shank run so well, I took your advice, man. I went on Steam and I got Limbo for $250.
What do you think?
I have not played it yet. I want to hold off on the 360 experience, but because my PC ran Shank really well, I'm thinking that Limbo might run really well, and I bought a wireless dongle for my PC to be able to play my my 360 controller. So I'm wondering maybe if I'll just hook my laptop up to my TV and play it that way and try to get a pseudo 360 experience with it.
You'll get a better than 360 experience. I mean, you hook it up to your television. Do you have HDMI out on your laptop?
Yes.
Then you're going to run that thing at 1080p, and it's going to be beautiful.
So I'm excited. So I took your advice. You were right. $2.50 was a no-brainer. So I definitely took advantage of the holiday sales. And actually, we did mention the holiday sale, right? The New Year's sale that Gamersgate's doing. Did we mention that at the beginning of the show or not? I don't remember.
We mentioned it last week, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they're doing – well, that one ended because that was a kind of a leading up to Christmas thing. And this week they're doing a one-week New Year's sale. So they have a new group of games that are featured. So if any titles that you were looking for particularly, maybe if they weren't on sale the last couple of weeks, go and check Gamersgate.com because they might be on sale now. I know like Battlefield 3 is only $40 right now, which is a pretty decent price. So, well, guys, I don't have anything else to add. I had a really good Christmas break. It sounded like you guys did as well. But we're really interested to know what our listeners did for Christmas. So if anybody has an awesome story about what they gave, what they received, please let us know. Was it Gunwild or was it – I think it was Gunwild that was giving Ocarina of Time to someone, correct?
I think so, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was him. It was him or British Steel, but I'm pretty sure it was Gunwild. So Gunwild, I'd love to hear a follow-up on how the Ocarina of Time was received, or if you took Gooch's advice and gave them Assassin's Creed to deter them for video games forever. All right, guys, and we're back for just a quick second. This is a little unintentional. We got done recording a few hours ago. Gooch, Dustin, and I decided to hang out on Skype for a while, and we just got a comment from Balzac. We didn't have any comments from the last episode because, I don't know, guys, it came out, what, only 2 days ago from when we're recording this episode?
Yeah.
So we didn't really expect anything. So to get one is awesome. And we definitely wanted to make sure that we could splice this comment from Balzac in. Since we were all here, we want to make sure that it gets into the episode. So Balzac writes in. He says, sorry about last episode's comments, guys. I'm glad, however, that you guys took the comments with open arms and actually agreed with most of it. I'm glad it did not do any harm. Don't worry, Balzac. You didn't do any harm at all, man. It was a well-thought-out comment. Anybody that doesn't flame and is well-thought-out with their arguments is welcome here. So I know you guys enjoyed it a lot, too. Yep. But he's got a question for us, and it's actually pretty related to what we had already covered. But we'll go ahead and make a... kind of a little segment here for Balzac, since he asked specifically about each of our gaming memories. He says, my question for you guys is, do you have any fond memories related to games after Christmas? Just wondering, since I got a ton of games for my PlayStation Portable, thanks to the PlayStation Vita coming soon, and all the Christmas sales. So now I have a whole bunch of games that will probably last me for most of 2012. So as far as fond memories related to games after Christmas, for me, the first one I'm going to say is Mario 2 because I got that for Christmas, and it's one of my favorite games ever, and it reminds me of the wintertime a bit. That and also Ocarina of Time is like that for me. I remember playing that right after winter, so it reminds me of January, February a lot. What about you, Dustin?
Super Castlevania 4.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I got that for Christmas 1 year, and I just remember playing that like crazy because I had the summer, or excuse me, the school given time off for Christmas. So
yeah, I had that that same thing happen with Ocarina of Time, and we also got hit with a blizzard. So we had like an additional 10 days off because of snow days, because we couldn't get out of our houses.
Nice.
So, and it was early internet. So I spent that break calling my buddy, to see if he figured out, whatever temple that I was stuck at in, Ocarina of Time, and printing off guitar tablature of, probably Dave Matthews or some, whatever cheesy crap I was into in high school. But yeah, I sat around and played a ton of guitar and Zelda that Christmas. I want to say that was my sophomore year in high school, maybe.
It was probably the Water Temple.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Water Temple still. I played through, Ocarina of Time, a second time, and I didn't even attempt the Water Temple. I 100% FAQ'd it. I heard in, the Wii version, and maybe it is in the GameCube version, that they have some hints and stuff that it's not as bad. But, I don't know. Screw that thing.
Oh, you know what? I would like to know, they made a Master Quest available on GameCube for that game. I wonder how, if that like made that temple impossible.
If it broke the game. You get to the Water Temple and it's like, who are you kidding?
Yeah.
Go play a different game. What about you, Gooch? You got any post-Christmas memories that stick out to you from something that you got on Christmas?
Oh, definitely. Has to be the Sega CD.
Oh, like, nice.
Yeah, I got it when it was sort of like, it wasn't dead, but it was on its way out. And the games were really cheap. And I got the Sega CD. DB let me borrow Lunar, the first one, which is my favorite gaming experience by far of any I've ever had, you know, and there were so many games. I had Power Rangers, there was Mortal Kombat, Sonic CD, you name it. I mean, that was the year my parents went nuts. When I say nuts, they probably spent, you know, $200 and got a kajillion Sega CD games, because they were like anywhere between $5 to $15 to $20 for most. And, it was the best Christmas, you know, ever.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sweet. So, well, Balzac, thank you very much for the comment, and we hope you appreciate that we spliced this in. And Gooch, you can now apologize for demanding everybody writing in, but not really.
Not really. Well, it doesn't count. Really, next episode.
Because we want some emailers.
Yes, well, Balzac, we love Balzac. He, you know, has been a big fan of the show for a long time, and always writes in, and always has really well-constructed comments, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't ask for a better fan.
Yeah, Dustin, you want to close out the show for us?
Sure. We're just going to close out with some thank yous, some partner shout-outs, specifically to Doghouse Systems. You can go there and use the coupon code CELITE for $25 in Jinx Gold. Hupog, if you go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/classiclite, you can see a lot of videos either recorded with Hupog devices or reviewing Hupog devices. Big shout out to Gamersgate. They are having a bunch of good holiday sales here. Go check them out. AverMedia. They, we also have a lot of videos featuring their recording devices, and also a lot of videos that have been recorded with their devices. So, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can check out those guys. Glitched Out, Got Game, J2 Games. We also have a coupon code with them, CELITE, and it's 20% off of the entire purchase, isn't it?
Yeah, which is nuts. Yeah.
And also, big shout out to OnLive.
Yes. Thank you very much. So, Gooch, you got anything to add, man?
Yeah. Write in, damn it. Sorry, I should say that nicer. People, write in. Because we're obviously having a giveaway this time, and I am so desperate for people to write in. I will give you something. I will gift you something on Steam. I don't care what computer you have. There is something on Steam you can run, and I will give you something. If you write in, if you send in an audio comment, I might gift you something that's $10, which is you know, extraordinary for someone as cheap as myself. So I am bribing you to write into the show.
That's a month of Old Republic. He's willing to put on the plate for you.
Yeah, if you put a, you know, if this is a new user who puts a comment on iTunes, who knows what I might do? I might fly you here and hug you. I won't do that, but
Kentucky's beautiful this time of year.
It is. It's cold. It's cold this time of year. It's snow. But if you haven't seen snow, you get a double win. You get a hug in the snow.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm only flying you in if you're a girl, by the way. So
well, it's only one way.
It's only one way. I wasn't going to tell them that.
Awesome. So, all right. Seriously, everybody, write into the show. Ladies in particular.
Yeah.
And I guess we will see everybody next week for episode 77. Thanks a lot for listening.